Hi, I'm Jill O'Shaughnessy and this is ABC Radio Perth. With me is the West Australian Minister for Aboriginal Affairs, Ben Wyatt. We're talking about this new interactive map which shows all of the Aboriginal place names and gives some of their history here in Perth. It's called Nalabudja Milli Milli, Our Country on Paper. Tell us about it, Ben.
It's a great piece of work that the Aboriginal History Unit in the department has been working on for some time with the support of a number of elders. And the map itself is actually was developed in 1838, so a long time ago, by the surveyor Alfred Hillman. He effectively did the map of what Perth CBD looked like then and overlaid over the top of it, really the planning around properties that were going to be built that would ultimately become the city of Perth. And so you can see that, and what is very apparent very quickly is the city is built over the top of a lot of wetlands, a lot of lakes in particular. And you can see where the causeway and narrows are now. The fact that the shape of our Swan River coast was quite different then as it is, as we understand it now. And so laid over the top of that is now the names, the traditional Noongar names of a range of different locations, really primarily around the CBD area, Kings Park and a bit of South Perth and Victoria Park. So we've started off on the CBD. This work will continue through broader metropolitan Perth, but certainly this is now up and interactive, so you can go and, if you like, click on names. For example, Harrison Island, Matagarup, you can go and click on that and get an understanding of why that name changed over time to the European version and why it is now why it looks like it does now.
So what are some of the other places, Kings Park is represented, some of the Noongar names, for some of the places that we perhaps are very familiar with under different names today?
That's right, and I think everyone's familiar with Mount Eliza, for example. The at Kings Park there, Cuttermore, is the traditional name, which again recognises the fact that whilst it was named after, in the traditional European sense, if you like, that was very possessive in the way things were named. For example, Harrison himself was a French sub-lieutenant on Nicholas Bourdin's expedition some time before Stirling arrived, and Matagarup recognised the fact that it was a very rich fishing ground, and there was a bunch of smaller islands there. There's now one island, and we know it after the very much the European name. For me, one that's that I've been pleased to see is Mindera, which is on the Victoria Park side of the causeway. And as I was going through school, my dad used to always say, "Oh, there's a site, there's a land, an important site in there." And now I understand it. It's Mindera, which is actually very close to where I currently live. And it was a waterhole. It was a spring, a freshwater spring that the department has been kind enough to provide me with. Actually, decisions made by the town of Victoria Park, as it was then, back in the late 1800s, that they were trying to drain that water away so they could build houses on that location. So all these locations, for whatever reason, are important to Aboriginal people. Often they are because they were hunting grounds or campsites or particular significant physical locations that became sacred over time. So this is the point of the interactive site, is to really give everybody, not just school kids, but everybody, tourists in particular, understanding that where we walk today looked a fair bit different not that long ago. And the reason why even today Noongar people continue to gather in some of these locations is because a lot of these locations have been gathering spots for many hundreds, many thousands of years.
So, Ben, as well as the Noongar names, do we get an idea of the history of the place as well, or what the name might mean, or the spiritual stories that might surround it?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why we've worked so closely with a range of Noongar elders to make sure that we had an accurate understanding of why locations are significant, and also the connection of particular sites to each other. I think most Western Australians are probably familiar with the story of the Woggle.
Yeah.
Now, the Woggle, of course, had a particular tie to stories to lore around waterways. And when you look at this map now, the original map of the Perth area, you can really understand that What was here was a lot of water. There's a lot of wetlands and a lot of lakes, so you can get a much better understanding of why the Woggle was so present in the law around the Perth CBD area.
We're speaking to the Minister for Aboriginal Affairs, Ben Wyatt, about this interactive map that... Now, where can people go to see it, Ben?
So this is on the website of the Department of Local Government, Sport and Cultural Industries. A bit of a mouthful, but the dlgsci.wa.gov.au. And you can see there on the webpage the Aboriginal History Unit, and you follow that through. It's fairly self-explanatory. This has actually taken about 4 years to develop at this point, and all up there's over 300 different locations that we want to add into this interactive map. That will happen over time, but certainly I was keen to get this out because I think everybody understands the shape of the CBD at the moment, and this year in particular being the year of Indigenous languages. I just think it's at a time when I think more Western Australians are becoming and more interested in Aboriginal languages, and when tourists, as we're always told, that the tourism offering, people want to have more of an Indigenous experience. I just think this is a nice way to highlight to locals and to those who travel here that our Noongar history is indeed deep, and it explains a lot of why Aboriginal people hold particular locations so significantly right to this very day.
Yeah, I think it's really lovely. Do you see a time, Ben, where, you go to a country like Ireland or New Zealand? In Ireland, you know, you'll see a street name or a town name, like, say, Donegal, and then below that you'll see the original Gaelic translation of that. So you can see both when you travel throughout a country, and occasionally you'll see some kind of, you know, organised explanation of the significance of a particular place. Do you see something like that happening in an organised fashion here in Perth?
I think that would be wonderful, Jello. I think that's something that would really go a long way to, of course, the reconciliation movement, but I actually think it goes a long way to deepening our own understanding of the country on which we live, understanding that many of the names since Stirling arrived in 1829 are very European and therefore named after other people, whereas Aboriginal names tend to be why an area is important to a broader story, or why it was important location for hunting reasons or dancing cultural reasons. So they're very different styles of naming, and certainly I think anyone who's travelled to New Zealand can't help but be impressed with the way that the dual naming has worked to really give those New Zealanders a real sense of pride in the history of their country. And I think really the aim of reconciliation is to have non-Aboriginal people understand that this is their history as well, and should feel some pride in that deep, deep history that Western Australia and Australia had. So I think this is part of that journey, because ultimately I think it's inevitable that we'll get to that point.
Yeah, well, it's interesting when we talk about the year of Indigenous language. We know a lot of our Indigenous languages around Australia are in danger of being lost. I know there's wonderful work with the Noongar language to teach people how to speak it. Gina Williams, another artist, doing beautiful work musically.
Oh, absolutely.
But this kind of thing really gives people a way to relate to language and to keep it alive as a natural part of the way we live.
Correct. And when people think of culture, the first thing generally people think of is language. We have so many languages in Western Australia, and you're quite correct, across Australia, indeed across the world, we're in great danger of losing some of these languages as traditional speakers pass away. So there is a real effort going on at the moment. Indeed, I note on my social media accounts quite regularly there are opportunities to learn Noongar languages at a very basic level, open for everybody. So I'm really delighted that is happening. But I think if we can embed in our understanding of locations a name, and that might potentially become a dual naming process, then it just helps to make that process so much easier.
Lovely. Thank you, Ben. Just remind us again how people can find it if they want to have a look.
Just head to the website of the Department of Local Government, Sport and Cultural Industries, and you'll see on that the Aboriginal History Unit, and just follow that through.
Fabulous. Thank you very much for your time, Ben.
Thanks, Jill.